the reality of the kingdom of God. I want you to lift your Bibles up with me. Just lift your Bibles up to heaven. Say, I believe everything my Bible says. It does not matter what people may say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say. Today, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe I will receive absolutely everything that the Spirit of the Lord has for me. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, help us today as we learn. Lord, I thank You for the anointing that will destroy yokes, lift burdens off of people's lives. I pray, God, that You use me as a vessel today. Let it be all of You and none of me. I pray, God, today for revelation. I, by my own will, surrender and let You use me today to speak through my vocals, my mind. Let my examples, my thoughts, Lord, be directed towards Your Word today and what You would have to say to these people. We thank You for it now in the lovely name of Jesus. And everyone who believes said amen. Turn with me, if you will, again to the book of Matthew chapter 6. I want to continue sharing with you on the kingdom of heaven because the Lord has shown me some more things as I get into the Word of God and I see where Jesus, following His resurrection, He began to teach for 40 days on the principles of the kingdom or the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Now, He taught for 40 days. I mean, and it was the first thing that He taught following His resurrection. So it has to be important. Would you say amen to that? Now, we've brought, I think, 3 hours on it. And I've got at least another 3 hours here of just some things that I want to show you and to establish in your thinking. These are things that are very important. If you're going to walk in victory and you're going to walk in that level where the evil one or the wicked one, the Bible says, touches you not. In Matthew, let's read again beginning in verse 8. It says, therefore, if you found it, say amen. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. Now, again, I must stop here and say that God is not moved by your need. He's not moved by the circumstances, okay? There is other laws that govern how God meets our need. So we have to learn if we're going to be successful, we can't just expect God to show up and do something for us. He limits Himself by His Word. Now, God can do anything, amen? But He limits Himself to what He has said in His Word. Now, He's told us to ask, okay? And then He tells us how to pray. He says, therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, from this teaching of Jesus, we see the pattern in which God has set forth that earth is supposed to be like heaven. And heaven, if you don't know it, is a very good place. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no death. There is no racism. There is no sad days. Are you with me? And it's the plan of God for earth to be like heaven And it is the Christians who are the agents in the earth to make this happen. Now, I'll share some more about that in just a minute. But let's read on. Let's go on to verse 19. He talks about, and we shared this part. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." But what? "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Everybody say treasures in heaven. Okay. "Where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For," now look at this, "the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And then he goes and says, "No one can serve two masters." Now, here's what it's talking about. It's talking about the treasures of heaven. Now, again, heaven is not the place where you and I go when we die in the Lord. It's talking about another realm or a higher plane. God has called us to live on a higher plane in this earth. We're in the world, remember, but, you know, we're not of this world anymore. There is a higher dimension in God, and that dimension is accessed through faith. Paul told us, the Apostle Paul said, that we are to set our affection, our mind, our thought, our thinking on things that are above. It's when we focus on things here in this earth is what takes away our attention from how great God is and what God wants to do through us. Are you with me? So we understand that there is a place, there is a realm where you and I can make deposits where the thief cannot break in and steal. It is protected by God, and we learn as we grow in the kingdom of God and in the reality of the kingdom how to make withdrawals from the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying so far? Verse 22 says that the lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, what's it talking about? It's talking about as we begin to pursue God, He begins to open up the eyes of our understanding. We get revelation, we get knowledge, and we get understanding as we pursue the Lord, and the Holy Spirit begins to show us these things. Now, make sure that you understand that you cannot see these things apart from being in pursuit of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the Bible tells us, is within. It's not in natural things, even though it will manifest in natural things, but it's in righteousness, it's in peace, and it's in joy. A person outside of the kingdom of God cannot access nor see or come into the reality of these things that we're talking about in the kingdom of heaven, what Jesus was teaching here. So our eye is what brings illumination. The eye of our spirit, the eye of our heart is what illuminates us on the inside to be able to see what the world can't see. Now, here's what he's telling us. There is the world system, and then there's the system of God. If we're going to operate in the world system, then we're going to be limited by what the world can give us and what the world offers us and what the world brings us. But when we focus on God's system, that's why we can't serve two masters. We're going to serve one and hate the other, or we're going to serve the kingdom of this world and hate the things of God. That's what Jesus taught us, and that's what he was saying when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 23, he says, if your eye is bad, then you're not going to receive these revelations. God is not going to impart to you the revelation or the wisdom or the illumination if you're not in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I believe this is very important that we get this and that we understand, because we do know that we have to access by faith the hand of God to move in our life, the blessing and the multiplying and so on and so forth. And so if you'll drop on down to verse 30, it says this. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more, now look at this, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So we're not talking about doing away with faith, because we have to be able to appropriate and use and learn how to use our faith. Amen? It says, but don't worry. He says in verse 31, but don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He said, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are the unbelievers. The Gentiles are the ones that do not have the revelation and the illumination that God is the God who is our source. God is the God who is our supplier. God is the God who said, I will meet all of your need. Remember, it's His responsibility to meet His children's need. And so we are not to worry like the Gentiles work. You know, they're always worrying what they're going to drink, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, what's going to happen tomorrow. And the instruction to you and I is don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. Come on, somebody. All right. So he said, after all these things, that's what the Gentiles seek. He said, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that again tells us that God knows exactly what we need in this life. He knows exactly what we need in this earth to get by, to survive, and He is the supplier, He is the provider, and He is the protector. Are you with me so far? Okay, that's what we're talking about in the kingdom of heaven. Let me just read this out of the Amplified. It says, seek Him, but seek Him. Matthew 6:33 out of the Amplified says, but seek Him and strive after, first of all, His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. So we're looking at the kingdom of heaven and understanding that once you and I are born again, we become part of the family of God. The Bible says that He has translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Now again, understand that the kingdom of God is a plane that is a spiritual plane, but it is a reality that is more real than what you can see with the senses. Now, people have a hard time with this because most people are sense ruled. But the kingdom of God is where God reigns, where God rules. The kingdom of God is not the place. Now, we're not talking about where God's living right now, where we go when we die, but we're talking about this realm of the Spirit, where God's dominion, God's authority, God's power, God's provision. How many would like to be able to tap in to God's provision, God's power, and God's supply through that dominion and through that authority that He has given to us? In order to do that, then you and I, we must unhook from the world system. We must unhook from our dependency upon the world and hook in, or plug in, if you will, to the kingdom of heaven. And that's the reality, see, that God wants to show you and I through the Spirit. We become born again, as I said a while ago. Our spirit becomes alive unto God, and He begins to show us these realities and things that you could not see if you're walking after the flesh or trying to pursue God from a fleshly standpoint. So it becomes important that we make a progression, not only in our walk of God, but a conversion in our mind that we are not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what people tell us. We're not moved by the circumstances. We're only moved by what we know. Jesus said that we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is in heaven. The only way that His will can be done on earth as it is in heaven is that you and I bring it to pass through the faith and through the power and through the strength and through the mighty hand of God. Okay, so it becomes important that we understand what people are waiting on. Now, here's another reality, is the manifestation of the sons of God. I said that's what the church is waiting on, but that's what the unsaved is really waiting on, because for the most part, they've been told lies about God. They've been told things that are not true about God. They've been told things like God's going to get you. God's going to punish you. God's going to kill your children because He needs them more in heaven, and so on and so forth. But all these things are lies to keep people from knowing the reality and the truth of who God really is. But God has given you a new life. God has given you His Spirit. God has given you the Word so that you can demonstrate what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is really like. And we are the agents by which God uses in the earth to make that witness and to make that display. Come on, somebody. Now, let me show you some things here from the Word of God. We're here to learn to walk in the ways of God. If you will, turn to Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 1, okay? We're here to understand that the things of the unseen realm are more real than the seen or the natural realm. I'm going to show you that, okay? Because people have trouble with things that they can't see. They can't see it, so they have difficult times in believing it. Galatians chapter 4, let me know when you're there. All right. He tells us right here. He says, "Now I say," I'm in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave or a servant." Now look what it says. "Though he is master of all." Did you see that? Let me read it one more time. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." Now, we could read it this way, as long as he is a child, or we could say, as long as he acts childish, different nothing from a slave, one who's led by their body or their flesh, though he be Lord of all. In other words, as long as you stay childish, even though all these things you have the potential, you have the capacity to attain, but because of your childish ways, you still revert back to a servant or to a slave because you're trying to serve God from the flesh or out of your body. Amen. Even though, he said, you be Lord of all. Remember, he's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You're the Lord, you're the King in this natural life, in this natural earth. Now, if you look at this, let's just go back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just go back a little bit. 1 Corinthians is before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 50. Let me show you this, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Are you there? Okay. He says, "Now I say, brethren," that what? Come on. That what? "That flesh and blood cannot," what? Cannot what? "Inherit the kingdom of God." He's telling us that flesh and blood cannot receive or inherit the things of the kingdom of God. And in order for us to understand that everything is provided for us in the kingdom of God, all of our prosperity, all of our healing, All of our deliverance, all of our blessings are found in the kingdom of God. Are you here? But it tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit, it cannot receive these things. Because if we're going to act childish, we're going to revert back to being a slave, even though we are Lord of it all. Are you with me? In fact, here's what Paul said. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let me show you this, because he tells us what the problem is, where most everybody is at, and all this belongs to the church, but the church is like it's on the outside looking in. Are you with me? See, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. But the church does not act like the church. The church is acting like servants. The church is acting like slaves, even though they be Lord of all. Why? Because the church is still staying childish. Are you here? What are we going to have to do? What are we going to have to do if we're going to inherit what God has called us to inherit? See, this is what Jesus was teaching. This is why it was so important that he spent 40 days teaching the disciples, teaching those that were in the upper room or going to the upper room about the principles of the kingdom. Now, Paul put it right on the nail, right on the head. He said this, look at verse 1. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as carnal." Isn't it amazing that most of the church wants to stay carnal? They want to stay fleshly ruled and fleshly minded. They want things that appeal to their flesh. And all the while, we don't have understanding of why we can't access all of our inheritance that's in the kingdom of heaven. Are you here, church? He said, "I can't speak to you as spiritual peoples." Now look why. He says, "But as to carnal," as to what? "Babes in Christ." He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not able." Why? "For you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and division among you, and, you know, fighting and bickering and mad at your girlfriend or mad at your boyfriend." I added those things, by the way. "But when there's no unity, there is division." Are you here? Husbands can't get along with wives, and wives can't get along with husbands, and saints can't get along with other saints. And so we got cliques, and we got divisions, and we got rift, and we got rap, and we got all that stuff. Are you with me? He said, as long as you do those things, he says, you're carnal. If you're carnal, you can't receive the spiritual things. He said, you are behaving, I like what the New King James says, it says the same way the Amplified says, he says, you're acting as mere men. Now listen to me. When you act as a mere man, then you're acting like the world. When you're acting like a mere man, you're forgetting that God has anointed you. God has put, because of the anointing, super, come on somebody, God has put super on your natural. I'm not talking about something you put on your hair. I'm talking about what God has given to you and I in the ability of the Holy Spirit. Right, amen. I tell you, you need to get a hold of this. He's created us, see, to be different from the world. And we need to understand that faith is the very thing that links you and I to the supernatural. Faith is what accesses or puts the super on our natural. You are not just a mere man. You are not just a natural man or woman anymore if you're born of the Spirit. The other thing you need to know is about this reality, because the reality, now listen to this, the reality in the unseen dimension is more real than what we can see. Now, some of you out there, you know, look, don't go to sleep right now. You need to get a hold of this. This is very important, because this is where so many begin to miss it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. The first thing that God said and God saw in Genesis chapter 1. We need to learn these things. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 1. Let's just look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning. When? All right. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what does that tell us about God? It tells us, first of all, that God is a creator. What's God's name for creator? Elohim. Are you with me? Elohim, the creator. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, look at this. God also has a name called Jehovah. How many of you know what Jehovah means? Jehovah means self-existent one or self-sufficient one. Are you? Now listen to me. God is not only a creator, but He creates all things. And He is, by His own name, self-existent. In other words, He's self-sufficient. Everything God needs, He has it in Himself. That's when, you know why it says, when He appeared to Moses in that wilderness, He said, I am Jehovah. Now listen, Moses responded and said, yeah, okay, I understand. He thought he understood. He said, who shall I say sent me? And God spoke back and said, tell them that I am. What? I am all sufficient. I am the source. I am the supply. You tell them not I was or I'm going to be. You tell them I am, Moses. Are you listening to me? In other words, God can bless you all by Himself. He doesn't need anybody else. He doesn't need any other resource. God can bless you right where you are. He can bless you down in the low place. He can bless you in the high place. He can bless you in between. He doesn't need anybody, anything. He can bless you because it all comes out of Himself. Sufficiency. Now, when we begin to see that, and that God is our source. You know, if you have a power failure, well, first thing you do is you start checking breakers and see if there's something wrong in your house. And then you go out and look at the neighbor's houses, and if you notice everybody else's lights are off, well, hey, it's the power company. Well, God is just trying to tell us that He is the power company. Amen. He is the source. He is the supply. And as long as He is our dependency, as long as we're kingdom-minded, then there's no end to that source. He is self-sufficient. He's able to bless us under any kind of circumstance, under any kind of condition. Now notice what He said here. Are you ready? Look at verse 2. He said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, now notice this. Then God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then what's the next two words? And what? Are y'all with me in verse 4? Come on. Got to follow me this morning. And what? And God. But what did He do first? Huh? What did He do first? He said, and then He saw. He said, let there be light. And then He saw that there was light. In other words, He's teaching us a reality here. He's not moved by the natural things that are happening. He was not moved. He didn't say, oh, it sure is dark out here. No, He said, let there be light. And then He saw light. He spoke light by the words of His mouth. And the next thing is that He saw it. God always says it first and then He sees it. We have to learn to be like God in that respect. We have to learn that we speak it no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what the natural things dictate or what the natural reality of it is, because the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. Right. How many of you understand what I just said? John 4:17 says, God is a what? Is a spirit. Now, God created everything. Light is a matter. Light is a physical matter that can be seen. But who created the light? And the Creator is always greater than the thing that He creates. So the spirit realm is greater than the natural realm. But because you and I are down here in this earth and we're operating in the realm of the natural, we want to see things before we say them. Or we want to see things before we really believe them. But God is saying, listen, I have created you in my image and in my likeness, and I have given you the ability to speak. Come on, somebody. And when we speak it, then we need to believe, because if we can speak it, then we can not only believe for it, but we can see it come to pass. Irregardless of what it looks like in the natural realm, because in the natural realm, you cannot see into the spiritual realm. Say, Pastor, you're getting deep. No, because you want to stay a babe. You want to stay carnal, and therefore you can't reach into the kingdom of God. We've already read that the kingdom of God, listen to me, is not inherited through flesh and blood. God has called you to not only be a world changer, but to rearrange, if you will, reconstruct, to bring light into a darkened earth. God has called you and I to be Jehovah's Witness in this earth. You didn't hear what I just said. God has called you and I to be the manifestation of Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because why? Because until His will is done in the earth, His kingdom can't come. And we know the kingdom come because He said the kingdom is within. Everything that you have is within you. You can't see it, but everything you need, everything in prosperity, everything in healing, everything in deliverance, everything you need to make you free is all on the inside. Are you with me? That's why it becomes so important. Now let's read on here. We have to get this conversion in our mind and get this understanding of what it means to be a new creation reality and get the reality of the kingdom of heaven. In Romans chapter 2, come on, are you with me? Say, I'm supposed to be a witness in this earth of the great Jehovah. Now, Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It says this, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? In other words, He's saying, don't you understand? It is the goodness of God that leads you, that leads men to repentance. Now, we get kind of messed up in this area of thinking again, because we want to tell people that God is going to get them and God's going to send them hell. I mean, no, God's not going to send anybody to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you will to go there. God has made every avenue, every way of escape, so that you never have to see hell. Come on, somebody. And so God is not sending people to hell. People are sending themselves to hell because they won't change systems. They won't change gods. Now, we get hung up on this other issue. Well, you know, God looks on the heart, but man looks on the outside. And the Bible does say that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But listen to me. We focus on the fact that God looks on the heart. Now, that's true. But we need to also focus on the fact that man looks on the outside. Because the man is the one that needs to get saved. Not God. And so man needs to see what God is doing so he will be jealous or he will come to God. God has set us in the earth to provoke men to jealousy. They're supposed to see in our life how good God really is, how great God really is. And if we're not demonstrating that and we're not displaying in that life, in our life, then we are not being good witnesses to Jehovah. Y'all didn't get that. What we've got to come back and get this reality and this understanding is that, you know, man looks to see what you got. If you're broke, if you're busted, disgusted, cowed down, no victory, no joy, you know, there are not many people that want that. Are you listening to me? I know these things may step on some toes, but remember, God will heal your toes, okay? Listen, when we were in Mercedes, in that old warehouse building, sharing a little room that was not very big at all with an insurance salesman, and we had to clear out the beer bottles because it's right on the main street. They call it Rincon del Diablo, right in the bad part of Mercedes there, rake away the smoke and the beer bottle, and we would actually have drunks come into the service while we're up there praising or preaching the Word of God. Not too many people would come into that environment. But you know, one day the whole thing fell in, and people began to see a miracle working God. And we moved from that old warehouse being shared with smoke and drunks and everything else into a blue building over here, right here on Westlake, right here on 1015 and Business 83, if you remember. And we began to fix that thing up, and people began to come in. We grew from about 30 people to about 300 people in like a week's time. I mean, they began to line up and come in there. Come on, like we were selling hamburgers or like we were giving away some, because they wanted to come and see what God was doing. And then we came over here, and then more people, they would come to see what God's doing. Can you imagine when we get that other building built? People want to see what you're doing, and they will come to see what God is doing in your life. Come on, somebody. They're not interested. They are not interested in somebody that's broke, busted, and disgusted, and doesn't know their way. People want to see the goodness of God, because it's the goodness of God that brings a man to repentance. Oh, you don't have to worry. Listen, you don't have to take thought about that. If you disobey God, if you are willing and obedient, the Bible says you will eat the fat of the land. But if you are disobedient, listen, you will receive the wrath of God. But it's the goodness of God. Everybody say the goodness of God. That causes men to repent. I'm just telling you that God has called you and I to be Jehovah witnesses in this earth. Not the denomination over there on the freeway that don't know their tail from a hole in the ground. I'm talking about the true witnesses of the great I am. In Galatians 4 again, he says, though you be an heir, as long as you are childish, he said, you differ nothing from a servant or a slave, though you be Lord of all. So what is that telling us? Does anybody have any idea? As long as we stay carnal, as long as we stay babes, and all we want is just some milk toast, you know, a little sermonette, and all we want is just something to make our flesh. What is God telling the church to do in these last days? Oh, see, that doesn't take any lightning fast mind, does it? It doesn't take any great revelation. God wants us to grow up. God doesn't want us to stay without and our dependency upon the world. I'm talking about being able, come on, to speak to the storms and they shall obey you. We're not here to hunker down. We're not here to cower down. We speak to Dean in the name of Jesus and declare that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because we have authority as kingdom kids. Amen. I'm talking about laying hands on the sick and they shall recover, praise God. I'm talking about casting out devils. I'm talking about speaking in new tongues. I'm talking about breakthroughs. I'm talking about miracles, because all of that is accessed through the kingdom of God. And faith is what puts the super on our natural. We can't do it apart from that. Are you listening to me? We all have this capacity. We all have this potential. But we're too busy acting like babies. We're too busy with other things to grow up and to rightfully receive our inheritance. Are you here? We are called, now listen, faith is the link to the supernatural, and faith is used to create the plan of God that He has for this natural world. We are the witness. You say, Pastor, you keep saying, let me give you the scripture. Matthew 24:14. You don't have to turn there, but just write it down. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom of God, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then what? And then the end shall come. We are called to demonstrate the kingdom here in this earth. God never intended for this much word to go forth. That's why the devil hates word churches. That's why the devil hates any place that revelation is coming forth, because he doesn't want people to be illuminated to the truth. But it's the truth that sets people free. Amen. There is nothing else that can set people free. When we understand that the devil is a master at deceiving people. He deceives people into thinking that there's shortages. He deceives people into thinking that they're not going to have enough. He deceives people that they're going to get this, or they're going to get that disease, or something's going to happen tragic, or this or that thing. Are you listening to me? He's a master at deceiving people, all to get you back down on this lower level, where you're looking at the reality of the natural instead of the thing that's more real, the spiritual. Now, he says this. Here's what Jesus said. I'm just trying to dig you in a little bit deeper. Okay? I'm trying to encourage you this way. I'm talking about these are things that we have to learn, because they're kingdom realities. We don't use these things like a spare tire. You know, when you have a flat, you know, you go for your spare. Look, we're talking about something we got to learn to live by every day of our life. Now, Jesus said that we are to know no man after the flesh. The scripture is John 7:24. Jesus said it this way, do not judge according to appearance. Now, listen to me closely. We get in a situation. We begin to judge things by what we see, what appears. Don't sit there and look real spiritual on me right now. You know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you what we lack. We lack knowledge. I said we lack knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, I don't care what it is. It could be a sport. It could be, you know, it could be tennis. It could be baseball. It could be basketball. It could be football, whatever. But how many know, if you're going to succeed at that game, you're going to have knowledge of how it's played. Amen. But we got people sitting in church that for some reason think they don't need knowledge. And yet we've got people perishing left and right, because the Bible makes it very clear that my people perish for what? For a lack of knowledge. And so we have this tendency to shun knowledge when it comes to the things of God. You know, sometimes people can't get healed. Can I just tell you what the real reason behind that is? It's just lack of knowledge. Now, don't get condemned, because, you see, we have to understand that there are those that have expertise, are specialized, or have been assigned, that have the gift and have knowledge to impart. if we need to learn something. You know, if you went out today and you went to start your car and you put your key in and think of, well, you know, you might know some basic things to do. And you might, you know, open that hood. But really, you don't have no business under that hood, not with a modern car. Because you do not know what you're doing. Can I hear a witness? I mean, you may want to call T.O., you know, but you know he's a shade tree mechanic. I mean, you know what shade tree mechanic is, right, Paul? I mean, somebody pulls up under his shade and says, fix this thing. No. But you take it to the dealer or you take it to somebody that specializes in that kind of car. He gets under that hood and does a few things and computer and so on. He says, now try it. And it goes. Why? Because he had knowledge to fix that thing. Are you with me? He had some knowledge. He was trained. He understands how it's supposed to work. And he has expertise in that area. I mean, if you're on the road from here to San Antonio, Texas, and you've been on the road for 30 years, how many know something's wrong? And you hadn't got there yet. Are you here? Wouldn't it be better to find out somebody that knew the way and ask them? Hello, everything. We're transitioning out of, where'd all my time go? We're transitioning out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm. And everything has to be accessed, has to be accessed through the faith that we release in God. But listen, there's also those that have been assigned. How many of you would think that you might prosper if you had thousands of employees working for you every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day without pay, working on your behalf to bring you deliverance, prosperity, healing? How many know you might get a little bit successful? Well, did you know you have that? Okay, that's what I'm trying to teach you. Let me just give you a couple more things here. Wow. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I hadn't even got into the stuff yet. I'm just kind of reviewing and bringing you back up to snuff here so you can launch here. But people have been trained specifically for our problems and situations. And the reason that we get in trouble, listen to me, is because we lack knowledge. Think about it. Sometimes it makes people upset. They come and say, well, I've done everything I know to do, but I haven't received my healing. And you tell them something like, well, it's very simple. You lack some knowledge here. But think about it. You couldn't fix that car either until somebody came along with more knowledge than you had and they fixed your car. Well, I'm just trying to teach you this morning. I'm not broke. I'm not busted. I'm not disgusted. I do have some knowledge how to withdraw from the kingdom. And I'm here to teach you that. I'm here to help you make the transition to that. And you've got some mighty powerful agents working on your behalf. Now here's what it says. Now let's look at this quickly. Got just a few minutes. It says this in verse 13 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? I said, are you there? Okay. Now look at this right quick. See, God wants our church to be an information center. That's why people keep coming in here, okay? Because they know that without knowledge, they're going to perish. Now, they got to get a revelation of that. Because as long as you're trying to depend upon the world and the system of the world, then you're always going to run into another problem. You're always going to meet yourself on another dead-end road. Hello? But how many know God, again, has an answer to every situation? He has an answer to every situation. I'm here to encourage you in the things of God because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Do we have any just in here? See, this is why I'm telling you, we cannot just use this thing like a spare tire. We've got to learn faith. We've got to get wisdom. We've got to get knowledge. And we've got to have understanding of how to put all these things together. If we don't, we're going to get overtaken in these last days. Because there's things that are happening, listen, and things that are coming in this world, people's hearts are going to fail them. There are things that are going to happen that we think, you know, look bad now, but we hadn't even begun to see what is happening. But you see, our dependency is upon God. Everything that we need to rely on, all of our source, is in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, let me show you this. What does it say? It says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So he's talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's also talking about angels. Now look at this. Verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that will inherit salvation? Did you see that? It says that all of the angels of God are sent forth to minister, or to serve, or to be employed by, if you will, heirs of salvation. Well, I got some news for you. I am an heir of salvation. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:17, if I'm His children, then I'm heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Are you here? So, I'm an heir, and if I'm an heir, then it puts me in a position to receive my rights. It puts me in a legal position, if you will, to receive my inheritance. Part of my inheritance is that God has assigned angels to serve me and to bring to me the things that are in the kingdom of heaven to me in this earth. Now let me show you that, because again, we don't use this reality very much, because it's not a reality that we think of, because we really don't see it. And we don't have knowledge that that's what the angels have been assigned by God to do. To bring to you everything that the kingdom can supply. And the kingdom supplies everything that you need. In the book of Daniel, now you've read this, but let me show you again, because what are the angels waiting on? See, a lot of us, they say, well, we're waiting on God, but no, God's waiting on us. God's given us everything. He's given us everything pertaining to what? Life and godliness. In Daniel chapter 10, now this is where, you remember this. See, we have to understand that angels are waiting upon something in order to move. They've all been assigned to us as ministering what? Ministering spirits. And their hands are sitting there. If you could see this in the spiritual realm with your natural eye, you would see most of you, your angels, just, you know, sitting back, arms folded, shaking their head, because you never put them to work. Daniel began in Daniel chapter 10. The Bible tells us that he began to seek the Lord for those 21 days. Remember, he did what we call the Daniel fast, where he ate no pleasant bread or good food, and no apple pie and no fajitas and none of that good stuff. And he sought the Lord. And then you get down to verse about 10, and the angels begin to appear to Daniel. Now look at this. It said, suddenly a hand touched me who made me tremble on my knees and on my palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12 says, and he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, you're what? You're what? You're what? Your words, Daniel, were heard, and I have come because of I have come, Daniel, because of your word. In other words, the angels are waiting on you to speak the word. Angels that have been assigned, multitudes to numerous to count, the Bible says, have been assigned to you that hearken to the word. I'm talking about faith-filled words, words that you speak of faith. Things that God has said, speaking your words by faith, the angels are just waiting to hearken to those words. Now, angels are not going to hearken because you're in a dire emergency. They're not going to hearken because you're in a circumstance. Angels are not going to heed your, you know, if you're using words of fear. They're not going to move. Angels are not going to move if you're operating in ignorance. There's no excuse for ignorance in this modern era. There is no excuse for any saint or any child of God to operate or to stay operating in darkness and ignorance any longer. Are you here? It's very, very simple. You say, how is it so? Just get in a place where revelation is flowing. Get in a place where illumination is illuminating the hearts and the minds of people instead of darkening them. Are you with me? This is not about religion, right? This is about a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is more real than anything else. He's a spirit, yeah, but the spirit is more real than what you can see. That's what I've been teaching you. This is the kingdom of God. If you're ignorant or you know you don't know, it doesn't matter. The angels are not going to operate in or out of your ignorance. If you hear, say amen. Deceive people without understanding, you stop your angels from working. It's very simple. It's very plain. Angels are sent into this natural world. They are dispatched by God to hearken at your word, the word that you speak in faith. Psalms 34:7. Let me just read these to you right quick. I hope you're getting this. If you are, say amen. Psalms 34:7 says this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, they need the word to work. Say that. Say, my angels need the word to work. All right? The angels of the Lord. Look at this. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord, what? Encamps or camps round about. Now, see, what we have to understand, that angels have been assigned, or they're at work waiting on our word to bring us deliverance. Come on, somebody. Protection. That's why we can speak to the storm. Hey, I've already released my angels working over my property, over this church. How about you? I'm not going to sit and just let destruction come, but we're going to speak to it in Jesus' name. He said, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and what? And delivers Him. Well, do you fear the Lord? See, if you fear the Lord, there's a place you can walk where the wicked one touches you not. Come on, somebody. Well, we got to learn what the fear of the Lord is, but we understand that if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, there's no evil that can befall us. There's no evil that can come if we're walking in the fear of God. Now, the other one here, is I need to give you right quick, is in Psalms 91, because here's what it says. Let's read it right quick. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of what? The Most High shall abide under the shadow of what? The Almighty. What does the Almighty mean? Anybody know what the Almighty means? The Almighty means, it's another name for God. It's El Shaddai. See, you need to know these things, saints. It's El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? Well, that's the God of abundance. That's the God that's more than enough. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the God of abundance. Well, what does the system want to do? What does the world want to do? It wants to say that there's a shortage. And I'm here to tell you that in the kingdom of heaven, there is no shortage. God is projected and is a God of abundance. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. David said, I have been young and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people standing in the welfare line with their hands out begging for stamps. Something like that. Are you here? No. The world wants to say, oh, there's a storm in the Gulf, so we got to raise the prices of gasoline. Now, that's really, really dumb when you think about it, because people need gasoline to get out of its path. Hey. The world is deceived. They'd rather raise it up where you can't afford it and stay in the path of the storm and get drowned or whatever. Are you listening to me? That's how stupid the system is. But we're smarter than the system. Our system is not based on natural things. Our system is based on the kingdom of God. The angels encamp around about those who fear the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the God of abundance, El Shaddai, who said, I am more than enough to meet your need. Well, we got to get that reality, see, in our thought, in our thinking, because I'm going to tell you something. This United States is blessed among all the nations of the entire world because it started out as a nation under God. It started out as a nation whose founding fathers were seeking the principles and the ways of God Almighty. Are you listening? You go to Mexico, you get on that main road to Mexico City, you will see 18-wheeler after 18-wheeler after 18. I mean, the road is jam-packed with big trucks importing goods from the United States. Food product, clothes product, I mean manufacturing goods, brought just one truck right after another, all going to supply the needs of Mexico. But I'm going to tell you something, the United States has enough supply of food and clothes and other raw materials, it could supply the whole world. I'm sitting there, my goodness, where's all that coming from? But you know what? God said, just see what you can see. All the resources naturally from the United States are almost inexhaustible. Just think about the realm of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Where it all came from in the beginning. Are you with me, church? Now listen, one more here. In Psalms 103. Let me read verse 10. I didn't read it to you. Verse 10, it says, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague shall come near your dwelling. Verse 11 says, he'll give his what? Angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then Psalms 103, quickly, we'll close. If you hear, say amen. All right. It says in verse 19, see God, now listen. We have to be led by the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to get ingrained into your thinking. Because Jesus said, we are not to know no one after the flesh. We're not to go by appearance. God wants us to have the best, but listen, God also wants us to give our best. God wants us to be able to show how good and how great He is. In order to do that, we're going to have the angels working for us. We're going to have the angels bringing in the supply that we need to be the suppliers in this earth. Hey, God wants you to have the best. But you know what? He wants you to be able to give your best. You may have a lot. If you do, then you're supposed to help those who don't. If you have little, you're still supposed to help those who have less than you. Come on, somebody. We're supposed to help the widow. We're supposed to help the orphan. We're supposed to feed the poor. But you know what? We're supposed to demonstrate the manifestation of the sons of God in this earth. We're going to have those agents, those angels working for us. Psalms 103. Let's read it right quick. Verse 19. It says this. It says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel," what? "In strength, who do," what? "His word, heeding the voice of," what? Oh, yeah. See, the angels are just waiting for you to speak the word. That's it. That's it. The angels have been assigned to work for you. Imagine having all those employees, Lord, working for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without pay. Use them. Use them, angel. Use them. How do you think those three Hebrew children in that fiery furnace that day? Listen, what they do, they didn't look at the natural elements. But they spoke what? The Word of God. And what delivered them? An angel. Hey, they said, "Even if our God does not, we will not bow our knee to you." Now, they were speaking the Word, but they were also doing what the Word says. The angels of the Lord encamp round about those that what? Fear Him. Are you here? Same thing with Daniel in the lion's den. They told him not to pray. They told him not to open and read the Word. But what did he do? He opened that window and he looked towards Jerusalem and shakatala rosakabala. And they threw him in the lion's den. But because he didn't bow to the system of man, the angels of the Lord showed up and shut the lion's mouth. Hey, we've got to learn to put our angels to work. This is a reality of the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to depend on Him in everything and in all things. Let's use our angels. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's use them. Let's use them. Let's use them. Come on, stand up. Hallelujah. Did y'all make that clock go faster or what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.